What's up? It is the new year, guys.
Yes.
This is the first episode of 2021. So we're 6 days in now. So hopefully there is a cure for everything and unemployment's gone and the government's happy and everybody's tiptoeing through tulips.
Did you, like me, find that 2020 ended up being the shortest yet longest year ever on record? Flew by, but it also took forever, it feels like, to get there.
Absolutely. Well, last week's episode was the year that wouldn't die. So it was just like kind of like Cujo, where it's just like no matter what you do, it just won't stop. So it is episode 165, the 6th of January, 2021, and Happy New Year to all. And as promised, we're starting off the new year with guests. And our first guest of the year is spooky little Halloween host, Miranda Enzor.
So welcome
to the show.
Hey guys, thanks so much for having me. Happy to kick off 2021 with you.
We're excited. We're doing a lot of new stuff for the new year. So keep posted. It's going to be a blast.
And right now we're less than 2 weeks to the Houston Horror Film Festival pop-up market, which is going to be pretty exciting, everybody.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of a good time. Now, I have to invite Mr. Gomez on here. Unfortunately, I don't like starting off 2021 this way, but as...
First, the old business!
Okay, as things go, to shake up the old business, we started doing what was popular in, 1980, 40 years ago, see kind of how the world has changed. Mm-hmm. So a couple weeks ago, we did the movies that were popular. And now for 2021, the week of January 6th, or, the week of January 4th, 1981, it's not looking good. So this was the top 10 hits. If you like some of these songs, that's great. Some of them you're going to be like, are you kidding me? And then having them all in the top 10 at the same time, you're going to be like, what? So number 10, top hit, 1981, the first week of 1981, More Than I Can Say by Leo Sayer.
I don't know what that is. I was seven.
Lady by Kenny Rogers.
No, that one will.
Okay.
The White Lionel Richie.
Yep. We talked about him a lot. Tell It Like It Is by Heart, which, Heart's good, but I don't even know if I know that one. Passion by Rod Stewart. Now, if you want to see somebody mad, you want to see somebody rage, tell my wife that Rod Stewart is known for anything. She hates that guy. It's awesome. Like, she has this unnatural, like, I hate that guy. So, let's see. Every Woman in the World by Air Supply.
Mm-hmm. We had a topic recently about how movies have changed our perception of songs. Sometimes on the Facebook group, and that's one, the movie Slither. That's her and her husband's go-to song whenever they want to get romantical. Every time I hear that song, it's the first thing I go to. It's this big amorphous blob of a person that's absorbing other bodies and stuff. It's so odd.
Doesn't get any more romantic than that.
Yeah, Hungry Heart by Bruce Springsteen. So, The Tide Is High by Blondie. So, you got some punk rock coming in there, starting to take over the mainstream, so that's a good stuff. But then you got Barbara Streisand, so that's not good. I mean, it's like set up and then spiked right back down. Love on the Rocks by Neil Diamond, which isn't horrible, but not great. And then Just Like Starting Over by John Lennon. So, but then, of course, he's going to get taken out in a few weeks by his assassin, which isn't good. So, not a good... Good start.
It wasn't
to
a good
year.
Day for songs.
It was not a good day for music.
This is why I've always skipped over the 80s completely. It's not my decade of music.
The thing is, there's a lot of really great stuff that came out of the 80s because you had like the burgeoning underground that was a response to this kind of stuff. Is just people are like, what? No. The shag carpet and the reel-to-reel tapes, like the living room and Pulp Fiction, is not what people wanted to be in the dark and dirty 80s. So, and you could see how that changed with the way the movie started coming out. But, you know, that's old business. Thank God it's not very long. So we'll take a break and we will be right back.
Yipes, stripes, beech nuts, got 'em.
Yipes, stripes, and fruit stripe gum.
Yipes, stripes, five different flavors.
Get beech nut fruit stripe gum.
Not to mention five different colors.
Cherry stripe.
Lemon stripe.
Orange, too.
Mixed fruit and lime stripe.
All for you in every pack of beech nut fruit stripe gum. Get beech nut fruit stripe gum.
Mother, soon many ghosts and goblins will appear to plague you.
Trick or treat!
However, these small phantoms enjoy beech nut fruit stripe gum almost as much as children do.
Yikes, stripes!
Be prepared. Buy fruit stripe gum in special beech nut Halloween packs now.
And we're back. We're back. Here we are. Okay, no hesitation, Mr. Gomez, please.
New business is new business, and this is new business.
Okay, don't have a whole lot of new business today. Just got a few things to talk about that I found interesting that came up recently. One thing you may remember, we've talked about the Zodiac Killer many times. We talked about serial killers on the show before. And recently, one of his last ciphers was finally solved by a group of folks from Australia, actually. But it's a cipher that was received by the San Fran Chronicle back in 1969. As you know, the Zodiac Killer is responsible for killing as many as 37 people in the San Francisco area late 60s through the 70s. Never caught him. He liked attention because he liked teasing the local newspaper and the authorities and stuff. And his final cipher, which is interesting because once they solved the cipher, some stuff started making sense about things that he had sent after this cipher was sent. Because there were some things where he mentions the gas chamber and different things later on that they couldn't figure out why he was talking about that kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden they figured this cipher out. But they came up with, I hope you're having lots of fun and trying to catch me. That wasn't me on the TV show, which brings up a point about me. I'm not afraid of the gas chamber because it will send me to paradise. There was a television show that had a call-in guy that said, hey, I'm the Zodiac Killer. So this was in reference to that particular event. Unfortunately, even with solving this cipher, they are nowhere near close to figuring out who the Zodiac Killer was, other than the conspiracy theory that Ted Cruz may have something to do. Okay. Recently, I believe this happened in Canada. The scientists have found the most preserved dinosaur skeleton or body ever in the history of the paleontology. It's a pretty cool deal. It was found by accident by some folks doing some dredging and some excavating. This particular fossil, they can't even call it a skeleton. They're calling it a mummy because it is so well preserved, still has all the skin, still has the guts inside of it. I mean, it's absolutely amazing how fossilized this thing is. It's a notosaur. The particular fossil is more than 110 million years old. Yet you can still see all the patterns on its skin. It was like one of those fortified dinosaurs you see with the armor plating and the scales and everything on it. And this thing, just if you get a chance, look it up, because it'll actually absolutely blow your mind how the amount of detail that they had in this particular one. So a little bit of excitement that ever since I was a kid, nobody stops getting excited about dinosaurs. Everybody loves dinosaurs. So it's one of those things that, like, kind of like Bigfoot, you just
constantly fascinated.
Well, we talked about it's funny because my daughter has just, in a big way of trolling, she revealed to us the other day that she doesn't believe in zebras. Like, how can you not believe in zebras? Like, look at this dinosaur. Like, there's all kinds of stuff not to believe in. Zebras, of all things, but she chose her hill. She's dying on it, man. She's like, nope. And if you give her she's seven. So you give her anything, you're like, well, here's proof. She's like, proof is easy to make.
Raising children in the fake news era.
Yeah. A little bit news in the world of horror film. Of course, have you seen the trailers yet for the, they call it a remake, but the trailers kind of show it more as a sequel, but there's a remake coming of Wrong Turn.
Yeah,
which looks pretty cool. It it looks like it's going to – the trailer itself had a couple of good jump scares in it, actually. So, but it looks more like a sequel as opposed to a remake, which I get on more board about. Remakes I tend to stay away from, unless it's something that was made a long, long time ago that still doesn't hold up. It makes sense to make a remake. But that's going to be coming out next year. And also we got some news that our friend Paul Taylor – who took over the mantle of Pinhead, the lead Cenobite in Hellraiser Judgment. He's going to be teaming up with the director from Hellraiser Judgment, Gary Tunnicliffe, and they'll be making a new clown horror film called Chorophobia. Is that how you pronounce that? The fear of clowns, isn't it?
Yeah, Chorophobia.
Yeah, which I think that'll be it. Paul Taylor's a great talent. He kind of reminds me of Doug Jones a little bit as far as...
he looks like him.
Yeah, he looks a lot like him. So this ought to be an interesting movie to check out. So definitely keep in line for that one. And finally, just a little bit of silliness. Do you remember a while back? This is a long time ago. We talked about a guy, 42 years old, got divorced, moved in with his parents. Apparently, they didn't get along. He was literally living in his parents' basement at 42 years old. They got in a fight, so he decided he was going to move, but he left all his possessions there. And one of the things he left was this ridiculously large porn collection of VHS tapes to DVDs. And he tried to press charges against his parents because they found it and they just threw it all away. So he wasn't he failed at pressing charges against them, but he was able to take them to civil court and he won. He won a judgment for $25,000 worth of pornographic material and toys. And if you get a chance to look this up, it's on Smoking Gun right now, but there's actually, I think it's a 12-page inventory list of all the things that he had. And some of the titles are just typical hilarious porn parody titles. So the funniest one being, this one just cracked me up, Lesbian Squirting Midgets, which is the funniest thing I've ever seen.
It's like you can't get that stuff on the open market anymore. No longer in print.
It was his argument. He's like, these are out of print. I can't get it. I can't get new copies of it. But he had 428 VHS tapes, 1,605 DVDs, and apparently no access to the internet. So that's it for new business today.
Oh man, dude.
Going out on a high note.
We'll take another break and we shall be right back.
Elvira here, back with a helping hand for Halloween. Coors Light, it's the official beer of Halloween. And just what an adult party needs to be a howling success. What? You don't believe me? What do you need, like a sign from above?
Be sure to visit this display wherever you buy Coors Light.
And it's just perfect for when friends drop in.
All right, we are back. Please buy whatever it was that we advertised. Just but actually, interestingly enough, we are going to start doing a little bit of a an ongoing sponsorship program for preferably, and when I say preferably, we hope roles will get filled up by local businesses that want to get a shout out and want to maybe tell us where you're located and what you do. So
one thing I definitely want to give a shout out is we always talk about the antique mall in Houston over at I-10 and Beltway 8. It's kind of turned into a nerd utopia just with a number of toy stores, comic book stores, just all kinds of stuff. But our good friend Joe Grisafi with Mr. Pixels Arcade has moved a mini arcade into the mall too, which is it's pretty cool. He's got some good old 80s video games and pinball machines you can play now. So it's pretty awesome.
That is awesome. So, without further ado, we'll invite, I mean, she's been on here the whole time, but we'll actually introduce her. You are the host of Spooky Little Halloween.
And I am.
You run a year-round Halloween blog.
Yep, Halloween all year in my world. So, started about 5 years ago, a little over 5 years ago now, just as a way to share kind of my own Halloween parties. I thought it was just supposed to be a little hobby for myself, and it has turned into a beast of its own.
It's a great blog. It's a great Facebook group. It's one thing. It's obvious that for you, Halloween isn't a holiday. It's a lifestyle.
For sure.
And I love, recently I've been getting into, you actually brought up, I don't know if you had seen it, but there was a blog post you had about some different Christmas traditions that kind of centered around more of the spooky side. And it was actually some stuff we had never talked about before.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. It was pretty cool. It was a very, very good read.
Thank you. Yeah, there's lots of really interesting stuff, especially when you start digging into European folklore, especially around the holiday season, kind of the winter holiday season, that is. Lots of creepy stuff out there to dig into and have a little bit of fun with.
Right.
And that's always my favorite stuff. I mean, even, you know, we talk about like the Halloween and holidays and Christmas memories, you know, like getting toys under the tree and blah, blah, blah. But there were so many fun little myths and legends, especially, you know, in the little books from your school libraries and your kids, you read about, you know, I think, you know, and it's not a true story, but like, for example, you know, A Christmas Carol, right? So then you have like the Mickey's Christmas Carol with the ghosts and the spookiness. And, you know, it's like Disney was always real good with the whole, you know, kind of, traversing that spooky season and letting the spooky stuff go all the way through with the lonesome ghosts and then into the holidays and stuff. So that was kind of my formative years, was, you know, it's like, it's even in the Christmas Carol, you know, there's spooky ghost stories. It's part of the tradition. So for me, the two just kind of go hand in hand. Sometimes you have people that will be like, no, you got to leave the Halloween stuff behind. It's like, no, you just throw a Santa hat on it and keep going.
Exactly what I do around my apartment.
So where did you start? What kind of was the, you said that you started kind of as a, so I sort of did the same thing when I started Scary Dad, was I was more of a DIYer. So I would paint stuff. I would craft and build, and I was building home haunt type stuff. And at the time, there was nobody out there that was doing, I mean, there was plenty of people doing it, but nobody was showcasing it, like, online. There was, like, one or two websites, but they were forum-type groups. Nothing that was, like, a straight-down, like, start to finish, here's how you make a panel, or here's how you carve a pumpkin, or bake a cake. Like, nothing that showed, like, how to do things. And then, of course, my blog evolved into what we're doing now. But yours is more or less what mine was gonna be had I stayed on. So, what kind of got you in the mood for writing and building the spooky little Halloween?
Yeah. So I've actually been blogging since I was about 16 years old. So more than half my life at this point, 20 years. That tells you how old I am. But just, I don't know, writing online has always been such a natural, I guess, part of my life. And it was more personal blogging when I was growing up. And then, oh gosh, I guess it was around 2010, I actually started a music blog. So I loved, you know, back at the beginning when we were chit-chatting about music. That was kind of, you know, just my passion at that point. And so I started a blog called The Good Groupie, and just kind of used it as my space to share what I was, you know, listening to, bands that I was going to see, all that kind of stuff. But man, I had a heck of a time trying to keep up with it and just getting excited about it. It always just felt like you were in the rat race of the music world, and I didn't enjoy that part of it. So I don't know. I kind of had this idea in my head to start a site where I could just share my Halloween party that I was hosting. And I probably sat on that idea for about a year before I finally was like, you know what, I'm just going to do this. So Labor Day weekend in 2015, bought the domain, the site went up, and mid-September that year I launched and, you know, had a blast writing about Halloween through October, and then kind of tapered off. And I picked up again the next, I guess it was the next summer, like late June, early July, and I have not stopped since. So I've just had a blast kind of integrating Halloween into every aspect of my life, every season of the year, all the different holidays. It's just, I don't know, it's kind of a fun challenge, and there's always something new to explore with it.
What have you noticed in the last few years since kind of blogging, social media, and that kind of stuff has really kind of blown up? Because again, when I started doing Scary Dad, it sounds like a sob story, but I mean, it was Wild West. There was nothing out there. I mean, like Halloween blogs, and you'd find some defunct old blog that somebody posted 4 years ago, but nobody ever updated. There was nothing out there. And now they're everywhere.
Yeah.
So it's like, there's a lot of content out there, and it's almost, I mean, you can spend hours just top lining, you know, a lot of the blogs. So you went from kind of not having anything to having a lot of stuff. What are you seeing out there Is it a lot of copy paste? Is it a lot of genuine enthusiasm? Kind of what's your?
Yeah. So it's funny too. When I first started, I guess part of the reason I kind of dove into it, I was like, well, there's not, like you said, there's not really a whole lot of, you know, Halloween blogs out there. So I don't know, maybe this can be my niche and I can kind of make my, you know, make my mark, put my name, you know, out there, that kind of stuff. And yeah, there's definitely been more in the last couple of years. I think the beautiful thing about it though, is, I don't know, maybe I'm just a little too, you know, even at the end of 2020, beginning of 2021, a little too optimistic still, with my rose tinted glasses on, I guess. We'll just call that my Halloween costume, or maybe, you know, the rose tinted hair here. Because you can't see me on a podcast, I have pink hair, just for the record. But I think everybody is kind of, like, there are quite a few Halloween blogs out there. I'm friends with, I think, pretty much everybody, anybody who has a Halloween blog at this point, because I kind of collect them all up and love seeing what's out there, honestly. But everybody kind of has their own take, their unique thing that they're doing. I think about my friends Andrew and Devin. They run yourbesthalloweenever.com. And these guys work all year behind the scenes, and they go nonstop for 6 weeks straight, starting in like mid-September through the end of October. And it blows me away every year. My friend, one of the girls that I started following early on, Sarah from the Spooky Vegan, she has been around. She was around for probably 4 or 5 years before I even started. And she just has such a knack for like digging up the cool horror things that are on, you know, on all the streaming platforms and just finding all the cool products. I don't know, everybody just kind of has their own little niche that they do. And I don't know, it's cool to see how everybody takes their love of Halloween and, you know, creates it into something that looks completely different from the next person. I'm always fascinated by it.
I think we've noticed pretty much the same thing, in that with a lot of industries, especially, I mean, if you look at the Halloween industry as a whole, you know, it's big industry, $6-7 billion a year. And if you take that long tail down through just about any niche, you can find some place to call your own, you know, to plant your flag, whether it's in the movie side, the book side, the decoration side, whatever. But we found that, like, Scott and I have found that even though there's a lot of other podcasts and there's a lot of other blogs and there's a lot of businesses, it almost seems like every bit of addition to the market is less competition and almost more like a new partner.
It's an enhancement. Yeah. It's like we all enhance each other.
Where it's different from a lot of industries where people get real fierce and they're get real, you know, but like even with ours, so we started the Haunted Halloween show, and then we found out about the Houston Horror Film Fest. And I mean, whenever it really comes down to it, they are direct competition. Like that is a market share grab between two competing, you know, and we would, I guess, since they're both, you know, legal businesses, we're technically rivals, but we found that if we promote for one another,
right,
we actually have a synergistic relationship in which everybody kind of comes out ahead. And it seems weird that way, in that there's, I mean, yeah, I guess if you have a brick and mortar like a Haunt, and then you have where people are going to decide to go to your place or the next place. But for us, we found that everybody that joins the market just kind of makes it that much more fun, that much more interesting, that much more better, you know, and more better is a good way.
So. No, I agree with that completely. And I think, I mean, kind of the thing that I've noticed, is, you know, there's a lot of us who will, I mean, I've kind of run this rat race in the Halloween world, but, you know, just going out to all the stores and seeing, you know, all the decor that's out there to buy and sharing the photos on Instagram, like that is such a huge thing in that specific space every year. And it doesn't seem like it matters if, you know, I just saw three of my friends post the exact same, you know, photo from Michael's or from At Home or wherever. Like if I post it, it's going to get just as much attention. And I think that's kind of one of the, I don't know, the conundrums for me of the Halloween and the horror community is we don't care if we've seen it 5 times. We just want to see it again and we want more. Right. And so I think like what you're just describing with, you know, these two different events that happened here in Houston, you know, it's kind of the same thing with the Halloween blogging world, content world, I'll say, because it's not just blogs. There's so much out there on YouTube. And I mean, you guys like podcasts and that sort of stuff. So I think there's just this hunger for Halloween and horror content from people in our community. So you can kind of, you know, take your own little piece of it and do what you want. And somebody's going to come along and think it's the greatest thing ever. And, you know, tell all their spooky friends about it. I love that.
So what are you working on right now? What's kind of, you know, it's January, so you obviously, you know, it's a hard time. I mean, we're doing a lot of stuff behind the scenes, and we're going to be, you know, but this, typically for us, this is kind of a doldrum moment. This is kind of, you know, a long winter's nap where we kind of just take a break. And it, we have to actually sit down and come up with ideas for things to think about and to talk about, and, you know, stuff. So what have you got kind of on the horizon? What's your...
Yeah, so I actually had a lovely 2.5 week break from work over the holidays. So I kind of took that time to, you know, dig into what was already on my blog and kind of figure out what I want to do and where I want to go from there. I've been at this for 5 years now, so there's quite a bit of content over on Spooky Little Halloween if you pop over there. But I think this year it's going to be a little bit quieter than it's been in the past. You know, maybe sharing a few ideas here and there throughout the year until we get into Halloween season. For some of the different holidays. So maybe a couple things coming up on Valentine's Day or Halloween, second Halloween, as we all like to call it. some ideas maybe for spring and summer. But I'm kind of planning to use this year too to work a little bit on some writing projects behind the scenes. I keep, my readers have heard me say this for, I don't know, probably over a year now, but I really want to write a Halloween novel. So that process has started. So I'm really kind of hoping to use a lot of my time that I would typically devote to the blog to work on that kind of stuff this year, and just kind of, you know, challenge myself and do some different writing projects.
Awesome. Yeah, I've got on the writing side, you know, those projects seem to be stacking up, and I'm kind of looking at my, between editing, writing, and, you know, freelance stuff. I'm like, oh, well,
I relate.
I guess I'm booked for a while. So yeah, I mean, but yeah, I'm looking forward to reading a Halloween novel. Do you deal in more of the horror side or more of the orange and black kind of?
Oh no, I'm definitely more the spooky cutesy, like orange and black. Like my idea is something, I want an adventure story kind of along the lines of Hocus Pocus. Just, you know, how that feels, where it has, you know, the spookiness and kind of the fun, and it's a little creepy, and, you know, you have a jump scare here or there, but, you know, overall it's kind of the nice Disney, you know, package. Right. Sort of a story. So
I think we need more than that, more of that. I think because when we talk a lot on the show about horror movies, right? And on the one hand, we're a bit desensitized to a lot because we've seen a lot of horror movies.
That's so long. Yeah.
But on the flip side of it is there is varying degrees of quality. And I think in an analysis of, it's like somebody posted on our forum yesterday was talking about, you know, between modern horror, 90s, 80s, you know, and back down the line. And why was the 80s so revered? And it was because there was a bunch more freedom. There was a lot more experimentation from both the smaller studios and the bigger studios. They were just kind of throwing stuff out there. So even though you got a lot of bad stuff, you got a lot of good stuff because people were willing to take chances on stories. Whereas the 90s, it kind of, that's when the executives and the marketing departments took over, and they started like really whittling things down. And so then now you've got the marketing departments, but then you've also got kind of the extreme horror kind of groups that are like, we want gore and we want horrible scares. And so it's like, you've got a mix of too much, you know, it's a scare, like every show is like the scariest movie you'll ever see. And you're like, you know, I don't want to watch the scariest movie I'll ever see. That makes me uncomfortable, right?
Yeah.
especially since the last three scariest movies I will ever see weren't that great. You know, it's like, like after a while you just kind of get let up and then brought back down. And you're just like, yeah, I'll just go watch Halloween again.
Right. Yeah. Let's go back to the 80s.
I was going to say, those marketing departments ruin everything, but I feel like I can say that since I work in a marketing department as my daytime job. So, you know, but I would imagine too, kind of, you know, back in the 80s, so I'm still kind of getting into horror. It has not been something that I don't know, I always felt like I absorbed too much of it, and, you know, the writer brain, it just would like stay there, and then it would be in my dreams, and it just wasn't a good situation. So, but this past, in 2020, one of my friends gave me a list of about 30-ish horror films, a lot of just kind of the classics, and lots of things that I hadn't seen that was kind of embarrassing. Things like Texas Chainsaw Massacre, don't judge me, guys, don't judge me. But it was kind of fun to watch through that. But I mean, I would imagine too, you know, going back to the 80s and even the 70s, they're just like, there wasn't the volume of horror movies either. I kind of feel like music is the same way. Like there was so little in the 50s and 60s when rock and roll was first starting out. And now it's just, you know, we have way too much music. There's too much to consume. Right. And then you're just trying to talk, like everybody just wants to be grossed out. And that's not my kind of horror. Like mess with my mind, screw with my head. I am all about that. I don't want to see blood and guts because it does not make me feel good.
Well, and like I said, for me, I think it just to have more attention to a well-crafted story is more important because you got a good, you know, a good story like Halloween is just, there's no blood and guts. It's simply just scary because it's a well-crafted item. It wasn't, they weren't trying to, I mean, it was a slasher movie. So yeah, they're trying to shock you. But again, yeah, you didn't get the marketing department in there being like, okay, too much of this, not enough of that. And you're like, well, and the reason I say the marketing department is because it was Rick
Baker. Oh, no, that's totally fair. We ruin everything.
Well, it was Rick Baker who was describing why he left Hollywood was on The Wolfman. He was with Benicio del Toro. It's because he won an Academy Award for making the werewolf for American Werewolf in London. And they brought him in to make a werewolf for The Wolfman. And every day, so you've got this guy who's an Academy Award winner. He worked on Star Wars. He worked like on all these horror movies. His proteges are winning Academy Awards for makeup and visual effects. And he's in there and in his, you know, casting his masks and stuff. And then some guy with an iPad comes in and is like, we need you to make the teeth smaller. We need to make this. And you know, like, and after a while, he's like, dude, if you wanted me to do my thing, why didn't you just hire that guy?
Right.
Yeah.
because they were coming back. So, and so that's what I think a lot of times with the horror is there's just too many producers. There's too many people that have a say when the people who are the masters of it, mm-hmm. you know, and so you get to a point where like, what are you telling? Like, I'm going to tell you how to throw a Halloween party, right? You're like, well, I kind of do this for a living. it's sort of my thing. So,
I know what I'm talking about over here. Thanks.
So this year was not good for Halloween parties. What did you end up doing?
I was going to say I did absolutely nothing. No, what did I do last year for Halloween? So I was hosting a Halloween party called Halloweeny Roast. And I'm going to invite all my friends over. And every year we had a different theme. And I ended up not hosting it in 2019. I did a series of what I called micro parties, kind of smaller parties. With like, you know, 10-ish people max. And again, this was pre-pandemic life, just, you know, wanted to try something different. So when it became clear that, you know, a party was going to be completely out of the question, potentially bringing my party back, I ended up just hanging out with my brother and sister-in-law and niece and nephew. And they actually threw me my own Halloweeny roast, just at the five of us in their backyard. And then we did some glow-in-the-dark trick-or-treating in the backyard with the kids. They're 6 and 3 now, so... that was really fun, but nothing fancy, just, you know, kind of small family party, basically.
That's awesome. We have a huge Halloween party that we throw every year, and same thing. We were like, well, we're going to have the party because it's real big. It's a real big attraction for our neighborhood, but what we did was normally it would be inside the house, mm-hmm. and what we did was we blocked off the street, and then most of the neighbors were gone, so we had like 8 yards. So everybody was kind of could be separated, right. but yet still together. And we had a big candy shoot for the trick-or-treaters and stuff like that. So people come, they'd hang out for a little while, they get their pictures and their costume on, and then they'd leave. So it, you know, it was kind of more of a flow through rather than a, you know, revelry. But good time. Again, different from normal. But made the best of it. So
for sure, I think that'll make us all appreciate, you know, once we kind of get back to normal and have all those traditions and, you know, things that we love about the holidays, it'll be nice to have that all back again. Hopefully we'll all appreciate it a little bit more.
I totally agree. Well, it looks like we're going to be a couple of minutes before Zoom's going to make us drop off. So do you have anything that you want to promote? Any final thoughts, any kind of predictions for the year?
I just say, you know, it's never too early to start planning for Halloween. So if you need some ideas, come on over to spookylittlehalloween.com. I do Halloween all year long and I love making Halloween friends. So come hang out.
Awesome.
Sounds great.
Well, cool. Well, I think that's going to put a fork into episode 165. Thank you, Miranda, for joining us.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you guys for having me. This was awesome.
Go to Spooky Little Halloween and like and follow our page. Then follow ours at the Scary Dad's Haunted Forum on Facebook. And then we've got, you know, Instagram and the website and Twitter and the whole work. So we're all over the place. Just push a button and you'll find us somewhere. And once again, thank you so much. And until next time, keep it scary.
Later.
Awesome.
And cut.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we still got a couple of minutes before Zoom's going to drop us. So this will come out on the 6th. Okay. I'll be sure to share it with you.
Yeah, definitely.
Even if the audio quality isn't wonderful because of the, like, I can't tell, but even,
yeah,
but that's okay. We've had everything from inside of bars to hotels to, you know, whatever else. So it'll be in, unless we have some kind of weird log or whatever.
Okay. Well, yeah. But I'm around and free for the next 2 weeks. Nothing exciting happening. So if we need to do tick two,
okay.
Not a problem. Good. I've done it before. So
killer. Well, thank you so much once again. Yes.
And thank you guys.
We'll be in touch soon.
Sounds good.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye, y'all.
That was fun.